Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers.
Our great Mikado, virtuous man, when he to rule our land began, resolved...
Productions by the Milwaukee Opera Theater are always a little offbeat and a lot of fun, but their staging of the Mikado makes those standards seem a bit modest. The show, a reprise of their 2015 production, opens tonight and features some instruments Gilbert and Sullivan may not have imagined when they composed the operetta.
The staging includes toy pianos and other toy instruments, along with, as they put it, even more cowbell than before. Jelena Ponasik is the artistic director for the Milwaukee Opera Theater. She and some of the cast from the production stopped by the studio to perform some of the songs and chat with Bonnie North.
And all is right as right can be.
Welcome to some of the cast and musicians of the Mikado. It is such a pleasure to have you all here this morning.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thanks.
And thanks for bringing all the stuff.
Our pleasure. We'll have
photos on our website of all the various accoutrements that you've brought in order. But this is all part of the show, right? I mean, this is exactly how it's being produced.
This is what, maybe 4%? Yeah. 5% of a small
of the toy
bit.
Percussion that you
mm-hmm.
have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Crucial 4%.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it in a bin, and there's a truckload mm-hmm. at the theater.
Well, Jelena, this is a reprise, actually. The Mikado. When did you first do it?
We invented this production exactly 2 years ago, March of 2015, and we reunited the original cast except for one cast member who's switching from baritone to tenor and didn't feel comfortable doing the role of Pishtush again, and so we invited Doug Clemens to join us.
Yay.
And we're thrilled, but there are two performances that Doug can't do, and so we invited Kelly Doherty to step in for Doug. So we're remounting the piece, but we have this wild card that's been tossed into the production, which, though stressful for Doug and Kelly, is immense fun for the rest of the cast because there's this like this sort of simmering fresh energy in all of the songs, and I feel like it's keeping it from going stale.
It's a wild, wild card.
It is a wild, yeah. wild card.
So how is it for you? I know the last time I saw you, you were doing La Cage aux Folles, yeah. and you've done some other things since then. How does this compare?
It's a lot less makeup.
Yeah.
Less layers of tights in there. But no, it's good. It was kind of intimidating the first day just to see the volume of instruments that we play. And it's cool because as everyone's remembering their track in the show and we're reblocking it, just to see everyone kind of jump in and grab, you know, the whole spirit of the production is just kind of like grab whatever's available and just make some music with it. So everyone's been very welcoming to invite me into this crazy show. And also, what did Jelena say to me the first day? I was like, is it okay if I play this one? She's just like, just play whatever you want really loudly and we'll tell you if it's too much. So I'm like, okay, great. So
that's kind of how I direct in general. It's a true ensemble production, and I think it took us a while to really realize exactly what we were getting ourselves into the first time, in that every cast member is responsible for knowing the entire show. Mm-hmm. It's so different from a traditional production, because if they're not in a scene, they're accompanying that scene on percussion, and often they're playing and singing at the same time, which is a different kind of coordination than we're used to doing on stage. So it's quite the cerebral adventure.
And so, Ruben, you're sitting down there in front of the toy piano,
yes.
and I understand you also play a regular-sized piano.
I do.
You go back and forth, but you're also singing.
He is.
Yes, I'm actually part of the ensemble, so I have the added coordination also of having to accompany myself on the toy piano, on the real piano, and then sometimes I play on the inside of the real piano as well and have to sing there too. So it's there's a lot more called on me than in a normal show.
Normal accompaniment is mm-hmm. is easy compared to this.
Correct, yeah. And then when you're playing some of the stuff on the toy piano only, this one only has two octaves. So you're reading the score but constantly rewriting and making the accompaniment smaller while trying to keep it as close to the original as possible. So that's a fun challenge too.
Well, and Joe, you have a special.
Chuck.
Yeah, we do have an additional cast member here.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the original.
Yeah.
He has perhaps the most stage experience of all of us.
That's yeah. true.
Mm-hmm. Could I hear from Chuck?
Yeah, this is Chuck the rubber
hello.
Chicken.
And so what part does Chuck have? Is he sort of throughout the
Yeah, he sings
show?
A solo line in Here's a Howdy Do. He's on stage all the time, mm-hmm. and he undergoes some mistreatment in one of Jason's songs, yeah, in Act Two. But we don't want to ruin it for you.
He's used as both a prop and a stage.
He undergoes this treatment, but he survived.
He survived. Oh, he survived the original production and signed up again for the remount. So we're really glad to have him back.
Traumatized,
though, is he so union? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about that on the
okay.
air.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Well, hopefully nobody will show up. There'll be no, you know.
Right. The chicken union is like, trust me when I say that you just want to avoid tangling with them. Yeah.
And so, Heidi, you're the last person that I haven't actually spoken to yet, but mm-hmm. welcome back. The parts that you're singing today are not the ones you're actually singing in the show, is that right?
Somewhat.
Half of it is.
Yeah, the soprano line is. So I'm Peep Bo. I'm one of the three little maids, one of the wards of Coco. And I also get to live my high school drumline dreams. I played the viola in high school and never got to be in the marching band, so I get to play on the cymbals and do all kinds of cool percussion in the back. It's great.
Heidi is suspiciously good at suspended cymbal.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, it's a dream come true.
The Mikado is, for modern audiences, a little difficult. It's kind of mm-hmm. racist. You know, yep. It's kind of tough. But this seems like it's a way into it that doesn't shy away from that, but also finds the fun.
Yeah, we grappled with that for months and months and months. And we knew that we were interested in doing the Mikado but had no idea what our approach was going to be and knew we had to find something that would feel appropriate for 2017 and authentic to the values of our company. And so over a very long period of time, we just sort of dove in and had a lot of discussions about how we felt about the Japanese elements and the history of yellow face costuming as part of it and what we thought the essence of the piece itself was. And we sort of ended up with this bureaucratic entanglement, which, you know, kind of resonates even today. and that we were going to interpret the score as ourselves. And so we just gradually let kind of the Japanese elements drift away from us instead of trying to embrace them in an inauthentic way. And it sort of got to this other undergirding of the piece and allowed us to be ourselves. And we also dropped the English accents. So we're speaking the text and singing the music as written, but as Heidi and Doug and Joe and Jelana and Ruben.
Right, as opposed to trying to pretend
you're
English.
We're not pretending to be English, pretending to be Japanese.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right, right. Gilbert and Sullivan is, if you know anything about them, you know that they were satirical. That they were right. poking fun at what was going on in 1880s England. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily translate to us. We don't know those references.
No, and they're quite removed. You know, yeah. We're opening just like 130 years and 2 days after the original opening of the Mikado. And it's actually, like, it's one of the most performed pieces in Western musical history. Like, it's so, at that time, in the 1890s and early 1900s, there were 150, 175 productions going on around the world of the Mikado. So you have to say, like, well, there has to be something of value there still, even if there are some parts that we might find offensive now. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of saying, crack open that score and take a look at it and study it and explore it. And can we find something that feels everlasting or appropriate now?
What do you think they were trying to say when they first wrote it?
Well, I think in a way the same thing they're always saying. Like Jason Powell and I were joking, right? They, like so many artists, like they developed this milieu and they found different ways to keep saying the same things that continued to be important to them, which is the illogical ends of potentially logical rules, that we tie ourselves in knots by trying to follow an idea to the point of absurdity. And so the people in the town of Titipu, of which our production is populated by just ridiculous people who live in Titipu, which happens to look like a room full of percussion instruments, just tie themselves up in ridiculous knots by trying to be other than who they are and by trying to follow rules that just get them further and further stuck in the quagmire. So it's all about a sense of duty to something that may or may not be worth allegiance to.
There's a lot of questioning authority, too, mm-hmm. and people in authority and who deigns that authority upon them and what makes them powerful or not, and poking fun at that a bit.
And so, Ruben, for you, are you sort of the musical director for this?
Yes, very yes. much so.
Yeah.
Ruben kept us all alive. He prevented despair. He encouraged creativity.
I think of myself more as a project manager on this piece. I'm here to, you know, ensure you know, musical correctness, and then also to inspire some, you know, creative choices on the percussion instruments. Or we now have a flute in this new production, which is which is fun. So it's exploring different sounds, interpreting the sometimes really silly words of Gilbert and Sullivan. How can we punctuate that with some equally silly sounds to sort of underscore that?
We had such a monumental workload 2 years ago. We literally backed a truck up to a rehearsal hall at Carroll University, trapped all of the cast members inside for a couple weeks, and said, figure out how to realize this score using these instruments. And there are a lot of songs. So for each song, we had to start from scratch and say, well, what kind of a color palette do we hear in this? Is it chimey? Is it bass drummy? Is it cymbally? You know, like, how do we start? And we went 20-some pieces over the course of a couple weeks.
So you haven't cut anything out of the...
We cut one song and we trimmed. So we did, I mean, we did condense it to a piece that we could rehearse, you know, and perform. So it's it's about 2 hours long with intermission.
And so, Doug, for you, now that you're part of this madness, how does it feel? I mean, this is something different for you.
In a way, it kind of feels like I've sort of lucked out to get out of the, I mean, like the whole trapped in the creative process, what they had to go through. It's nice. I feel like I just sort of took a shortcut to get to where the production is now, which saves, you know, me a lot of brain power, I guess, and just be like, just lean over. Jelana said the first day to just lean on your cast members. So whoever's standing by me, I'm like, what should I grab for this one? And they'll say something tinkly. Yes. I said, okay, great. Tinkly it is. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and also I'm not a trained percussionist.
None of us are.
Do what?
None of us are.
Oh, good.
That's one of the ironies.
You fooled me. But, yeah, it's really great just to have always someone around me to lean upon. And it is a larger cast where everyone is so confident and supportive of each other that it's just, it kind of just is a breeze to kind of come into. If I ever have any questions, there's always somebody right next to me that can answer them. And it's great.
Are these the things that you're going to be playing? I know, Jelana, you're not actually in the production, so I'm not counting you in this. But of everybody else, is this? Are you playing the things that you will be playing, or at least some of them, in the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And
yes.
Some.
Uh-huh. So, Doug, what do you have? You have...
Finger cymbals.
Yeah, those are your finger cymbals.
I have two finger cymbals,
yeah,
which I play a lot of. At one point, I tried to challenge myself to always choose the smallest, lackluster-looking instrument available to me.
He was making instrument character choices.
I was, because I was like, okay, everybody's already like down this road of, you know, character development, so I'm just going to choose the tiniest little instruments. So I play a lot of finger cymbals. Sometimes I take a finger cymbal and a tiny little drumstick, and I just hit it on it. But that's what I have right now. And it packs a punch every single time.
It does. Time. He's also Glockman and Triangle.
Triangle. And what's the
egg shaker?
And the stick?
That's a boomwhacker.
This is a boomwhacker. Yeah, there's a whole, what do you call it, a boomwhack symphony in it?
The boomwhacker suite? The Miyasama suite?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It does really, when you see these things and when you hold a boomwhacker, it really just unleashes your inner, like, first grader when, like, you walk into music class and you're just like, oh, it's those things that are all different colors and we just get to smack them on things. Like, it's literally
we do one piece instrumentally with just the full cast and boomwhackers, like a handbell choir. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So a boomwhacker, if you don't know, is a plastic tube that is tuned to a specific pitch.
Okay, and you're all holding your various
Yep, we have
pitches.
A little diatonic scale of boomwhackers.
Oh, okay. And so Heidi, what do you have? In addition to the boomwhacker, you've got...
So I have, throughout the show, I play the bass drum, I play shakers, I play the suspended cymbal, a couple of different gongs. I'm holding right now a toy chime, and it plays a full scale... So it sounds sort of magical and...
Goes nicely with the finger cymbals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very tinkly.
Yes.
That's the
We have one
term.
Number that's all toy instruments.
It's all in the piece. All
it's very playful.
And you also have a shaker.
So yes, in fact, Ding would be embarrassed because I don't know what this is called.
Kabasa.
Kabasa, thank you.
Yeah.
It's written on the top of it.
That assumes she can read.
There it is. Yeah. I've got so many other things I'm thinking about when I play this. I didn't read the label.
Yeah. And so, Ruben, we have the toy piano. It's a beautiful red toy piano and two octave. Can you give us just a little bit of a scale or something?
Ruben is a very accomplished toy pianist. And I've even heard you play Piazzolla.
Yes, I've played Piazzolla for a present music event. I've played toy piano in New York. And for several of Joanna's productions.
The toy piano being one of the things along with Chuck that kind of goes throughout Milwaukee
and
Opera Theater.
They're actually both Ruben's pianos, and we use two of them. Two toy pianos and one regular piano.
You feel a little ridiculous playing it, but it seemed to have the right timbre for this production.
We would see where we can use it. And so, Joe, what do you have? What are some of your instruments that you...
Well, I had the maracas earlier, and then I also brought along the cowbell, because we're doing even more cowbell this time.
That's right. We've added cowbell.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You can never have too much cowbell.
Oh, yeah. More cowbell.
Go for it, Joe.
There you go.
Here's the cow. We also have a cow.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then the triangle. And there's also a horn.
Taxi horn?
Yep. And these are only one bin full of the instruments.
Yeah, this 4%. Is basically nothing.
4%.
Well, and also, I mean, Ding helped us. He has this incredible collection of percussion instruments, which is what started us on this pathway in the first place. I mean, it was him saying, yes, I'll help you, that got us in this mess. And having experienced it 2 years ago, when he packed the truck this time, like, I submitted the list that we had last time, and we got, like, two more bins of things that he had thought of, having seen the production a couple times. So we have new toys in this production.
We're improving on the cacophony.
And then we've had a lot of in rehearsal so far where we're like, well, we have what we call the everyday gong, the special occasion gong, and the opera gong. And they're all hung backstage. But we were like, I think the opera gong we had last time was Doinier. So we've had all these discussions among the cast about, like, the exact sound of that particular cymbal or this particular gong and whether or not we need to contact.
So that's a musical term, Doinier.
It was a little Doinier, we felt like. And the crash cymbals we had last time were a little crashier.
Yeah.
You're adjusting.
We're adjusting.
Yeah. So remind me where it's happening.
It's happening at Next Act Theater's Performance Space.
Okay. That should be great.
It's fantastic.
And I was going to say,
it's
and that's
so
like,
fun.
So theater-like for you.
It is actually a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a real departure from Milwaukee Opera Theater. I was speaking with my father about it yesterday, and he was recalling seeing the first production and how fun it was for them, because Next Act has a really deep thrust on the playing space. So the instruments are way out right in front of the audience, and you're really immersed in kind of the wackiness of the production. And you see everything. You see all of the people playing everything. We also have three guitars. We have a banjolele and a ukulele. What else am I missing?
A ship's bell.
Yeah.
A Revolutionary War drum.
There's a Revolutionary War drum. That's right. Yeah, there's so much. I mean, there's a child's accordion.
So it's one of those things where you have to see it more than once because you know you're going to have missed looking at some of those instruments.
It's physically impossible to see everything.
Right.
And I know that from trying to watch the video and remount the show. Like, it's actually impossible to take in the entire stage picture at any one time.
Yeah.
Do you want to play a scale? Can we play a scale?
Yeah, absolutely. Play a scale.
On any body part, Joe.
Oh.
And back down.
You can also play a chord.
Jill Anaponicek is the artistic director, and Ruben Pirinen is music director of the Milwaukee Opera Theater. Joe Regenbach, Heidi Boyd, and Doug Clemens are performing in the current production of The Mikado, and they joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North.
In the sea. On the subject, we pray you be dumb, dumb, dumb. We think you had better succumb, come, come.
The show opens tonight and runs through next Sunday at the Next Act Theater Space in Walker's Point. You'll find pictures and more at WUWM.com.
There's lots of good fish, fish in the sea. There's lots of good fish, good fish in the sea, in the sea, in the sea, in the sea, in the sea.
That was beautiful.